Andy Baggerly joins us of CSN Bay Area, Extra Bags, of course, the blog he does. You got to follow Andy on the internet. No one better than that. And don't tell Alex I said that. All right. Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. And how did you like the ceremony yesterday?
You know, I thought it was good. They didn't make the Cardinals stand out there for 90 minutes, which was, I'm sure they appreciate, especially Mike Matheny, who just had back surgery. And, you know, there was no bands performing, nothing crazy. It was centered really on the fans and the players. And they brought the whole team back from last year. They made that a priority. So they already got the reunion assembled. They might as well just make it about the players, and they did.
I said earlier, a little bit anticlimactic for me. I mean, on the show, you know, we did these shows from spring training, who should raise the flag, and everyone had every suggestion from you to me, believe me. So they did take a group of players, which I thought was important, because you couldn't break down the World Series without everybody.
Sure, yeah.
And they brought the fans in, but the Wilson moment of him sprinting across with the flag, I guess it's just tough to duplicate.
Well, it is. It's tough to duplicate that. And I still think that they should have had Mazen McCovey raise the flag in 2010. So I was wondering, well, it was Wilson last time. I guess if they go with symmetry, it'd be Sergio Romo this time, the guy who got the final out. And I thought it was good that they had that sort of six-pack of players go out there, because it wasn't about one guy. It was about this whole team. And then also the two series MVPs, Scudero and Sandoval, got to throw out first pitches, so they were able to include them as well. And Sergio said that they let him pull the cord just that last foot or so. So he did get to sort of be the closer, and that was nice.
And that moment got me. See, that was the goosebump moment, watching the flag raised.
Yeah.
Not sort of the preamble, but that the moment the flag went up.
Well, and Lincecum started, and
I felt it.
He made a pretty good sacrifice to go in the bullpen, I'm sure everybody felt it. You know, Barry Zito's warming up, and he has to look over his shoulder.
Did he look?
And yeah, he did. He finished his long tossing, and that's when they started raising the flag, and so he was on his way to the bullpen, and I was watching him.
Interesting.
And he was looking, and you know what? He looks up at that flag, and he says, "I have something to do with it." That you know, the previous one, I was a spectator. This one, I had something to do with that.
So they don't get it without Game 5.
They don't get out of St. Louis, that's for sure.
Well, Game 6 starter. He had Game 2 and 6. Vogelsong goes today. And Andy, you and I are looking at some of the fifth starters in baseball. And you look at Vogelsong, and you brought up Detweiler. Is pretty good. But you look
I like him.
Mm-hmm. Interleague today, of course, Kansas City and the Phillies. John Lannan is now a Philly, and you get Mendoza for Kansas City. But we went up and down that list. John Lackey is a fifth starter. Vogelsong's got to be right up the top of the fifth starters. If you call him that, it just happened to break that way.
Yeah, and I think that he is the number five guy to start the year, just because he was in the World Baseball Classic and the Giants were a little less sure of being able to line him up and how the workload would go. And I think they wanted to give a little a vote of confidence to Tim Lincecum's psyche and have him pitch in that first series at Dodger Stadium. But really, you know, the number five starter in this rotation is Lincecum. He's the guy that they're just hoping can get through five and six innings, give him a chance to win, not be a Cy Young guy anymore. Almost the same situation that Barry Zito was in as the fifth starter last year. And, of course, they, I believe, went 21-11 or so in
exactly,
his starts.
Exactly, 21-11.
You know, I remember there was a Chicago White Sox team a few years back that was started the year like 0-15 when their number five starter was on the mound. You just hope that you can be a 500 club in those games, and I think the Giants are going to, you know, whoever you count as their number five starter, they're probably going to be a lot better than 500 in those starts. So a huge advantage for them.
Yeah, I believe it. And, you know, and then you flip it over, you know, Kane tomorrow. You know, if Cardinals don't win tomorrow, today, then you got to deal with Kane tomorrow.
And that's how you get winning streaks going, isn't it?
You know, I said this, and people accuse me of getting ahead of myself sometimes, but I tell you, now it's a good race. Greinke pitched great yesterday. Arizona's still, you know, starting to pitch well. Miley had a good game yesterday. Colorado's hitting the ball, and we'll see them this week. But I'd say the Giants get off to 20-7. I just think they could put this thing in the rearview mirror.
Like 2003?
I really believe it. Yeah. I really believe it because of this pitching. I mean, to pitch this well so early is just incredible.
Well, that's the reason I picked them to win the division, because I saw how well the starting pitchers were throwing all spring. Barry Zito looked locked in, Marty, from day one of throwing live BP on February 14th or whatever it was. He was going into a trance in the dugout getting ready for it. And he looked so good all spring. Bumgarner looked terrific all spring. Kane was Kane. He had maybe one start where he was a little erratic. And then, obviously, we know that Timmy's a work in progress. And Vogelsong threw great for Team USA in his two starts.
Did.
So, you know, that's why I picked him, because I think that the starting pitching is going to be pretty darn good again.
Yeah, and the bullpen is solid, too. And look at Romo's first three. You know, someone called in a closer by committee. I don't think so. He's the closer, nine up, nine down, three times.
Well, and that's key for him, because I think if there's any reason that they are a little hesitant to say that Romo is the absolute, you know, Rob Nen type, Brian Wilson type closer, it's because they're going to have to give him some days off, because he does throw that slider. He is smaller statured. He does go through a period every year where his elbow will flare up a little, or his knees will give out. So, you know, for him not only to convert these saves, but to do it in, you know, a dozen pitches or so, that's going to allow Bruce Bochy to throw him back out there.
Yeah.
You know, tomorrow, or if he pitches today, it would be his fourth outing in 5 days, right? And I asked Bochy, would you put him out there? And he said, absolutely.
Yeah, why not?
And if Romo needs 35 pitches yesterday to get the job done, he probably wouldn't get that save situation.
Yeah.
So the fact he's being efficient really helps the Giants and helps him.
How would you assess Sandoval's first week? Now, I was surprised he played. You know, with the we were down there, the elbow neuritis and all this stuff, and he made this big recovery. He's gotten the ball over to Belt. Belt understands it's coming on a big hop.
Mm-hmm.
But how would you assess Sandoval's first week?
I think really, really well. I mean, you saw he can. The one question was it was going to bother him swinging left-handed, and you saw he had a fastball up around his chin, and he hit that one into the pavilion. So, you know, that's a pretty good sign. And defensively, I've really been surprised by how well he's played defensively. He looks nimble, Marty. Yeah. And I do think the weight is an issue. I don't think that you can just discard that or say, oh, well, he can play at that weight, he's fine. It's going to be something that the team is worried about, that he's going to have to monitor. But I do think when he put in all that work and came in a new guy in that spring of 2011 and really transformed his body, I think that he's held on to a lot of that athleticism. He wasn't an athlete before he did that comprehensive training program. And even though he's put a lot of weight back on, and we all see him, he's put a lot of weight back on, I do think that he's got a lot of that strength, a lot of that agility, the things that he gained through that process. And he is doing early work. In spring, I would see him, as guys are arriving, you know, at 8:30, he would already been on the back field with his shirt drenched in sweat, going through agility drills and stuff. So he is putting in the work.
Yeah.
Now, can he continue to play at that weight and play well? It's going to be tougher for him, you know, as you get into a long season. Imagine carrying around, a 30-pound suitcase all the time. You might be fine for, the first week of the season, but you know it's going to get tougher and tougher. But at least for now, I am surprised at how nimble he is, and he's got to feel good about the plays he's making.
As I said earlier, this is Andy Bagley, of course, CSN Bags on Twitter, and Extra Bags is the blog. I always enjoy talking ball with you. You know that.
Oh, same here.
What I said for Sandoval, he's got to make that 5-4-3. You know, he can't bobble that five part, and he's got to get a good throw off and catch the ball cleanly. He doesn't do that.
Well, you saw that Bruce Bochy didn't take Sandoval out and put in Joaquin Arias for defense in a 1-0 game.
Did you ask, by the way?
I didn't, but I was going to ask him about it this morning.
Yeah, I thought they should have.
Yeah, I expected they would. That's what Bochy did last year until Pablo got his weight down at least, you know, to a level that the team was targeting, and he is north of that right now, so... that's kind of been the carrot on the stick that they've used for him to slim down a little bit. And Bochy played him all nine, no doubt, because of how well he played defensively.
Yeah, yeah. Little confidence booster for the Panda.
Sure.
Hey, last thought for you before we're going to head out to the public house very soon here. Matt Kemp, what was your take on Matt Kemp this week?
Wow, same guy in spring training who was really struggling to make contact. You know, he did have a shoulder surgery and didn't follow it up with a very good spring. And, you know, he has had some times in his career where he, you know, people have wondered about his focus. And, you know, I think he's grown up a lot since then. But he's no slam dunk to be right up there in that MVP talk again, Marty. Everybody thinks he's going to be that player he was 2 years ago. In this game, I guess the best way to say is you never really know in this day and age.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
One word, Joaquin Andujar. You never know.
You never know. One word. You never know.
All right, Andy, thanks so much.
Sure, it's a little drizzly out there, Marty.
Yeah, you know, we're in the bunker here at the KMBR bunker.
Did you see the strawberries come in this morning?
I talked about it. No, I didn't see. I said I didn't see the strawberries today. A lot of Coors Light.
Oh, really?
A lot of Coors Light today.
I think it's more Irish coffee weather.
Well, that's going to be Monday night.
Oh, that's
Irish
true.
Heritage Night. But a lot of Coors Light today. I was looking for the strawberries or the lettuce. I was looking for my... But I saw a lot of hot dog buns.
I saw a lot of boxes of Johnsonville bratwurst. And I think I'll be ready for one of those.
I like it. I love coming in the morning.
It's fun. It is. Yeah. You see the whole park wake up.
Come alive. A private party for 40,000. They do it 81 times a year.
Amazing.
Good. Andy, thanks so much.
Thanks, Marty.
Always. Andy Baggerly. Boy, enjoy talking some baseball with him.